All right. Hi, I'm Andrew. I have issues with God and his fan club, and I am an alcoholic. I've struggled with painkillers, and I've got issues with anger, depression, and chronic pain. So there is a, for those of you who don't go to the groups, we talked about it a few weeks ago, there's a right way and a wrong way to spill your coffee. Wendell got all of that metaphor. We spent probably half an hour going round and round on that one. And when I heard that, I thought that there is a right way and a wrong way to relapse. That, I think dependency folk first, because that's what I know. But everybody else, yeah. We'll get there. I promise. Tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about my relapses and what I learned from them. To start, I used to drink a lot. By myself, other people, didn't really matter. Then, for about 2011 to 2014, I didn't go to bed sober most nights. Then I quit for a while after I woke up in the bed of my pickup truck. That lasted 3-4 months, maybe. Then my roommate had a party, and I had one drink. I told myself I could stop at one drink. That turned to two drinks, turned to, you know, blasted. I lived in denial like that for a long time. And then I had to stop drinking in 2012 because I was on painkillers, and I like having a liver. But literally the day I was done getting off of the painkillers, I had a drink to celebrate. I fast forward to 2015, and I've got 5 months clean. It's the longest stretch I'd been in for a while. I move up to Elizabethtown, taking a job at a church. And that's when I start to think, again, I can have just one. That turns to two, turns into two bottles of wine a night. That is when I went to my first AA meeting. And for those of you who have never been, it's really depressing. Like, dead serious. I mean, it is a bunch of old white men holding on for dear life, sucking down the worst coffee I have ever smelled in my life. I was the youngest person in there by about 20 years. And I got out of there as fast as I could. It was awful. And from there, it took me about 2.5 years to get my 1 year sober. That first year was absolute hell. Every day, 365 days a year, I woke up and said one day at a time. That's all I could do. I didn't go a day without wanting a drink. I quit a couple of weeks after I got married. And it wasn't until I got deep into that that I realized I spent a year worried about what somebody else wanted me to do. It hit me one day. I was at the church waiting on the microwave, standing in the kitchen waiting on a frozen burrito to go off. Right? And I realized that I could have a drink tonight and God would still love me. My wife wouldn't, but that's an entirely different lesson. That was freeing. And then, you know, don't worry about it. And then my burrito dinged and I had to get back to work, but it stuck with me for months. Now, I am not saying go out and get shit-faced, okay? Do not, if your thing is meth, do not go find your dealer again, okay? Trust me, we're all better off clean. I say all that because I want you to know where I'm coming from when I say I know what a relapse feels like. Now, a relapse is what you make of it. My first big one, I didn't really learn anything from it. I was in denial. I thought I could, you know, just power through it, right? But from this last time, I learned that the timing has to be right. There are three ways to look at a relapse. Number one, shame. You reset your time. You go hide in a corner for a while and pretend you don't exist. And three, you try and take a healthy approach to it. You take a step back and you learn what you did wrong. Now, for folks with things like anger issues and dependency, a codependency, relapse can be pretty much daily. You just got to learn from it. I've spent 2 years to look out for when my depression gets bad. If I pay attention, I can prevent it, or I can channel it into something good. For those of you who don't know, I'm going through an ugly divorce, and I am going to court Tuesday to get more time with my son. This all started from a conversation I had with my ex where I got furious, and I turned that into getting more time with my son. Wendell and I talked about divine timing a while back, and I've been giving it a lot of thought because I don't think I was ready to be sober until I was ready to be sober. Now, the part that always gets me is, why wasn't I ready to be sober? What did I have to go through all that hell for? And that's what I'm going at tonight. If I had let shame take over, I'd still be drunk. Shame tells us that we're no good. We don't deserve to be healthy. We deserve to be stuck right where we are, and that nothing we do matters, because we'll just end up right back here. Shame puts on fig leaves and tells us that we have to hide ourselves from God. But when I believe that God is who he says he is, I don't have time for shame. But even shame can be productive, I think. When I woke up in my truck, I was ashamed of myself. I couldn't stand to look at me. But it was my wake-up call. That was the first time I tried to get sober. Shame comes from regret, and regret is our way of figuring out where we need to go from here, what we need to work on next. We regret spilling our coffee. I regret. The second way to relapse is sit there. That's just useless. You're not even spinning your wheels. You're not even in neutral. You sit there thinking everything's fine when your whole world, your whole life is going off the rails. When you relapse into denial, absolutely nothing changes. All you do is reset your time. It's easy. It's like an old pair of shoes you can't throw away. It usually takes somebody else pointing out that you're in denial, because how do you know when you're in denial? And that leads to the healthier way. It usually takes a couple of tries to get to this point. You got some time on your belt. You work in the steps, and then bam, out of nowhere, one drink turns into whatever I had at the apartment. Conversation turns into a blow up, and there you are again. Feels like you're right back where you started. But instead of a pity party, you stop and you take a look. You take a step back and you look at it objectively. There's always something you can learn from it. The last time I got really mad, I'm going to court now. When I was done with that conversation, I was shaking mad, but I knew what to do with it. Being honest, though, some days I still bounce back and forth. Like, I'll get mad and just think, oh, the world is mad. It's fine. This time something happens, take a step back and look at it. This hurts. The truth is painful. When somebody asks you if this outfit makes me look fat, you're supposed to lie. We don't want to hear the truth. If you want to get better, you have to start out by knowing where you are. And the hardest part of that for me was ignoring where other people are. You start by embracing what's wrong with you. I am not my alcoholism, but it is this part of me that I have to acknowledge. You have to be honest with yourself if you want to get better. It's all easier said than done. But if it were easy, we wouldn't be here. But what do I know? I'm just as messed up as anybody else here. And I look forward to all of you telling me how I was wrong in the open share time. Thanks.